Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings in a single bound.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane.
It's Superman
Podcast.
Superman was created by Jerome Siegel and Joe Shuster.
Hi, I'm Stephen Biscotti.
And I'm Justin Candelario.
And you're listening to
the Saturday Morning Superman Show.
The Saturday Morning Superman Show is a podcast about Superman in animation across generations. The show is also brought to you in part by Royal Collectibles, your friendly neighborhood comic shop, located in Forest Hills, Queens, New York.
So, Stephen, we have the episode of the first appearance of the Parasite on the show.
We do, yes. Today's episode is Feeding Time. This episode originally aired on September 28th, 1996. It was written by Robert Goodman, and it was directed by Kurt Gieda.
This episode, I think, has to be starting to become like one of my favorites, because I think it's the most challenging villain that Superman's faced so far. I mean, especially when you watch the episode, you got that time gap that happens in the episode, which honestly, I feel like this episode should have been at least two parts, in my opinion, because I feel like so much happens that you kind of need one or two parts. But as we see towards the end of the episode, this is not the last we're going to see of the Parasite. And yeah, this is definitely one of my favorites. You know, a lot of like horror like styles to it, a lot of horror and also a mix of Terminator. So I really like that old classic feel to the episode, Stephen.
Yeah, Feeding Time is a great episode because for pretty much every reason that you mentioned, there is a very definite horror take on the character. And Parasite's very interesting because, you know, as we're progressing through Superman, the animated series, we're seeing the creative team really tackle more of like Superman's rogue gallery. And I think up until this point in time, if you weren't reading Superman comic books, a lot of these characters would be unfamiliar to you. Because as we've seen, you know, in the Superman movies at this time with Superman 1-4, Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman, and the other Superman cartoons, they always would primarily like focus on Lex. And they would focus on, again, as I've said before, bank robbers, stuff like that. And they never really delved too much into the universe of Superman and his rogues gallery, where, as we've seen with like Batman, TAS, the Batman movies, you know, they gave you Joker and Penguin and Catwoman and Riddler and Two-Face and all of them. And you never really got the opportunity to meet someone like Rudy Jones or, as we've seen, like Brainiac. And these are all fan favorite characters. These are very popular characters in DC, in the DC comic books, in Superman mythology. So it's really cool to get an episode like that. Parasite's also a very interesting character because, like with so many of the characters, especially like how we were talking about Lex, how he didn't really appear until a few years into the Superman comic books. Parasite didn't appear until Action Comics 340. That was in 1966.
So that's like 30 years later.
Yeah. And so you're now looking at a character that's become such a part, you know, of Superman. As I've mentioned before, I have like a Superman animated series art poster by Tom Whalen. And Parasite's on there. And so it's cool to see him, you know, recognized as a major Superman villain. But these aren't characters that appeared early on in the Superman books. And, you know, like if you look at someone like Spider-Man, where, you know, he had Doc Ock and Vulture and Scorpion and Green Goblin, a lot of these characters all appeared within the very first few issues. So it wasn't like you were seeing Spider-Man, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, like in 1980, you were meeting like Rhino for the first time. You got so many of like the main rogues gallery characters in those early issues. But yes, Parasite did appear in Action Comics issue 340, which was in 1966. He was a character that went by the name of Raymond Maxwell Jensen. But it wasn't until volume 2 of Firestorm, Firestorm issue 58 from 1987, that we met the second incarnation of Parasite, Rudy Jones. And Rudy Jones is the version that we meet in this episode.
Okay.
And I think it's also interesting that a lot of times when villains are introduced in cartoons or movies, the general audiences tend to gravitate towards that version. Mm-hmm. And they kind of forget that there might have been another version ahead of them, namely because it's the first time that they're meeting the character. So I just think it's interesting how Rudy Jones is now the more accepted version of Parasite, you know, as we've seen in, you know, like Smallville and Supergirl. I think it was like season three.
Mm-hmm.
It was like season three, I think, where he appeared in. And, you know, if you talk to like a DC Comics or Superman fan, you say like, oh, Rudy Jones, they're like, oh, that's Parasite. But if you say, oh, Raymond Maxwell Jensen, they might have to think for a second. I know, like, I'd have to think. I actually just relearned that Maxwell Jensen was Parasite before Rudy Jones as I was going through the show notes for today.
Yeah, I feel like that's with, like, just about all comic characters today, whether it's Marvel or DC. Like, now, like, with the shows and, like, movies, you know, they're always bringing out, like, the second incarnations of these characters. Remember when I was talking to you the other day about Ghost Rider in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Like, it's because the way, like, I feel like they treat the character of Ghost Rider in terms of, like, live action and just, like, in terms of, like, bringing him to life. It's like, now I feel like the Robbie Reyes would be the more accepted one and kind of looked over the Johnny Blaze one because of how he's handled. And, like, I feel like it's going to be the same. It's, like, the same thing with Ant-Man, Scott Lang over Hank Pym. You know, it's going to be, like, a more, like, you know, it's going to be, like, a trend because it's, like, when introducing a second incarnation of a superhero or of a villain, then general, like standard audiences will accept it more because, like, they did not learn about maybe, like, the first incarnation of it. That, or maybe the first incarnation was not done well. Like for example, the, like when I said the Ghost Rider, like the Nicolas Cage movies of Ghost Rider were not really done very well, but the Robbie Reyes one from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was done extremely well. So it's like, it's kind of, it's going to be like that common trend where, like, in this day and age, as we're getting more adaptations in terms of cartoons or live action, where studios are going to be bringing out those second or maybe even third incarnations of these characters, they probably will be more accepted in the first incarnations. And I could be, like, looked back on, but, like, they could be put in the back seat for a little bit, but they'll still get their spotlight every now and then.
Who's ready for feeding time?
I'm been ready for feeding time.
All right, let's start.
I want to be fed. And here we go, back with this intro as we usually do. We usually watch it over, but we're going to talk over it as always because we went through this intro like, I lost track already. Six times?
We've been doing these episodes back to back. So I suppose I'll re-mention that. We've been recording these episodes in blocks, so over the course of, like, 3 days, we'll record about, you know, 5 or 6 episodes, especially, like, over the course of 2 days, we'll record, like, 3 episodes on one day and 2 the next, and so we've been doing all of this ahead of time, and so we've just been kind of, like, doing, like, all right, we'll watch 2 episodes, then we'll record 2 episodes. And
we have been getting ahead of ourselves, you know.
So by the time, again, like, when this airs, we'll have already done this.
Yeah.
But, you know, we hope you're enjoying, and we hope you'll go along with us as we learn more about Superman through Superman the Animated Series.
And this is kind of like my school right now, because Steven, every single time I come over here, Steven has to go Superman 101 on me and, like, take me to the history, because most of the time when you hear him talking, he's teaching me throughout the history of Superman. That's why I'm, like, kind of quiet in the background, because it's like, yes, okay, yes,
it's really,
yes, Mr. Biscotti.
It's really fun because you know, I'm always up for watching Superman the Animated Series, and as I've mentioned, you know, this is something that I've watched, you know, one episode a day with my mom. You know, I've enjoyed watching episodes of this with my girlfriend. And it's such a cool show. Feeding Time opens where we're introduced to Rudy Jones. He's a janitor at Star Labs. He's working with a guy named Martin LeBeau. And Rudy's trying to operate this forklift. And he clearly has no idea how to operate the forklift. But he's transporting these barrels of this toxic waste. We're not yet sure of what exactly they are, but we know he's probably doing something that he's not supposed to be doing.
And we know that he's incompetent of him stealing anything.
Very much so. And when the security at Star Labs confronts Rudy, and they're like, oh, like, Rudy, we didn't realize you were cleared, you know, for this machinery. And he's like, oh, yeah. And he's very bumbling. He's very meek. They end up creating an incident and a scene. And Martin LeBeau, the one who's obviously working with Rudy Jones and using Rudy Jones for his own gain, he pulls a gun. The guards retreat. And the firing inside, like, the warehouse area of Star Labs causes an explosion. I'd like to point out that Martin LeBeau is voiced by Robert Patrick, and I think everybody absolutely should know that Robert Patrick is the man behind the T-1000. And this does have a lot of Terminator 2 vibes with Parasite and yeah, the way he moves. Much. And the way he behaves, it reminds me a lot of
and the T-1000. Scene with the, well, we're not there yet, but when we get to it, the scene with the cop and how he mimics the voice.
That, oh, completely. That's very, yeah, that's that straight me out exactly of the movie. Yeah.
The first one. And I gotta say, when I was watching this episode, I didn't know who Parasite was in terms of like his real name. But as soon as they did a close-up of Rudy Jones' name tag, I was like, you know, whenever they do a close-up, pay attention to that, because that's obviously important. I want to make note.
He's not just a stupid little parasite, as Martin LeBeau called him. Or no. He is a parasite, but not a stupid little one.
And a janitor.
Right.
And a janitor. It's always a janitor that's got to be a bad guy. But right here, I want to make note of this scene where Superman breaks open the wall just to get a water pipe. Why didn't he use his cold breath? I'm questioning it because he does have cold breath, right?
Yeah, he definitely has like the cold breath, freeze breath, and he also could probably could have inhaled like all that, like the oxygen out of the room to starve the fire.
Okay.
You know, he probably could have done something like that.
There's many other different things he could have done other than punching a pipe and using it as a hose.
It just makes for better animation.
I feel like it just makes it just fun for the kids. That mm-hmm. wise, it's like, hey, you know, shout out to the firefighters out there.
Well, what's cool about Superman the Animated Series and with each episode, they really do make an effort to showcase a variety of Superman's powers. And in every episode, of course, you're going to see him fly. Of course, you're going to see him use his strength. But in this one, immediately in the episode, we're not more than, you know, 5 minutes into the episode. And you see him use his X-ray vision. You see him use his super strength. You see him use his flight. And it's just all the great aspects of Superman that we love.
And right here, we kind of pass it, but, you know, Rudy Jones has now become the parasite after the chemical spill in the back trunk. And it's kind of, this is where, like, the horror-ish style comes in of, like, also, in fact, like, he has to land in an area that's, like, swamp-like. So it kind of gave me, like, Swamp Thing type of a style where, like, he's coming out at night. And, of course, you got, like, either a cliche cop or a cliche person is gonna find him in their headlights, and he's gonna be walking hunched over like a monster. So, you know, typically, you know, as every other actor or, you know, character does in horror movies, they tend to get out the car and approach the monstrous looking thing, you know, just put themselves in danger. And right here, we're getting a little bit of what Rudy Jones now as Parasite is, and that is kind of, he's kind of lost himself to this chemical, and it seems like he's becoming one with it very early on, like almost right after, like you see him screaming in the back of the trunk, like, help me, but then after a while it kind of takes him over and changes his personality completely. And even right here we learn one of his abilities, which is the fact that he can mimic voices from absorbing people's I would just say energy.
Mm-hmm.
Because not everybody has powers like Superman. So he's absorbing people's energy and is able to mimic whatever they can do, and he's actually enjoying it.
One of the aspects that I love about this scene here where the cop confronts Rudy Jones as Parasite is the animation is just done so well, and they don't really reveal Rudy Jones. They really keep him in shadows. Mm-hmm. And I like the menace of how big he is and mm-hmm. how lumbering he is. He has a rat in his hand that he drops, that he drained of its powers. And then when he gets the officer and he grabs her, there's a real threat where you don't really know if he's killing her, if he's draining the life out of her completely, or if he's just draining a little bit of power out of her. But Rudy Jones's Parasite is definitely a very intimidating villain. And again, he's very different than a Lex, and he's very different than like a Brainiac. And he's probably like the first true physical threat that we've seen to Superman. Yeah. Because while we've been introduced to Winslow Shutt as Toyman, he's not a very physical hand-to-hand yeah. villain, whereas Parasite's obviously somebody that could go toe-to-toe with Superman, and this is the first time that we're really meeting somebody like that, that's like a supervillain.
Yeah, someone who definitely could take Superman up toe-to-toe, and I like how you mentioned that he drained the powers of the rat, but we never get to see any of those rat powers throughout the episode. I'm disappointed. No rat powers.
And no, it would be interesting to see, like, what kind of capabilities he would take on. Because you figure if he's absorbing all of their energy, and we even learn later on when Clark, Superman, he's with Emil Hamilton, and Emil Hamilton at Star Labs is telling him that, you know, that it was a catalyst to absorb energy in human cells, and that obviously when Parasite took on, you know, all of that, the catalyst that yeah. spilled on him, it was in such a heavier amount than like any human should be able to take. So it'd be interesting to see what he takes from like different people.
Yeah.
But Rudy Jones, of course, hellbent on revenge, he confronts Mr. LeBeau,
and he got in a costume change.
Yeah, and his costume definitely changed.
Some kind of monster. Can you help me?
Let me take you back to Star. Maybe Professor Hamilton can treat you.
Okay, Superman. Just don't hurt me.
I won't. Hang on.
Oh, you can count on
Do you like him more when he's just like the purple monster? Do you like when he has like those like bands around
well,
him?
Well, if he was just straight purple, then I'm pretty sure even not just us, but everybody would think that he's naked throughout the entire episode.
And
but,
like Barney as Jimmy Olsen.
Like Barney?
I was looking around in where we're recording. I have all the Superman Adventures comic books, and I have all the complete set of the Superman Adventures, the Superman animated series figures. And I was quickly looking to see if I had Parasite up there.
I thought he was looking for Ghost for a second. I was like, not again. But I mean, I like it with the, what is it, like a white blue?
Yeah, it's like stripe. A light bluish, like stripes and
yeah. I mean, I kind of like it, but I like either one. I just don't know which one I would prefer.
I love the design of the characters on Superman the animated series, and much like Batman animated, they took on the characteristics that we all recognize in these supervillains and in these characters. And while they're heavily animated, I think the designs are so timeless because they're not, you know, you look at like Superman's costume and like Man of Steel, for instance, and it's very recognizable as like, oh, this is the Man of Steel costume. Mm-hmm. But if you look at like the costume for maybe like Superman Returns to like the Christopher Reeve suit, or even like the suit that Dean Cain wore, it's really not all that different.
Yeah.
And like Superman in the animated series, it's a very timeless, iconic suit. Not much has really changed, except that they removed the S off the cape. And like with Parasite and so many of these other characters, they're a little modernized, you know, to fit the sensibilities of the cartoon. But yet they're so recognizable that anybody could easily pick up on that. And if you like the comic book, you know, you'll like the cartoon. If you like the cartoon, you'll like the comic book.
Actually, you know, I just realized that Parasite reminds me of...
Who's that?
Lilu Multipass from The Fifth Element.
So, you're so right. I was actually just thinking about that, too. I was like thinking it, but I wasn't gonna like even mention it.
Like the very beginning. Like the
beginning with the Yeah, so obviously, if you have recognized the similarity between Parasite and Lilu,
Lilu Multipass.
from The Fifth Element, played by Mila Jovovich, I highly ask, like, do you feel the same way? So if you're following us on Twitter at Sat Morning Superman Show, or at Sat Superman Show, I'm sorry. It's all in the show notes, of course. at Sat Superman Show, let us know if you feel the same way. We'll put up a picture, and we'll put up a picture as well on Instagram, and chime in if you feel there's a similarity. I'm glad you pointed that out. That's actually really cool.
I just thought of it right now because I was like, wait a minute. He looks almost like half naked, and like those straps, he just reminded me. I was like, he's covering the good parts, you know.
So Parasite, after he first battled Superman, he absorbed a lot of Superman's abilities, such as strength, speed, X-ray vision. But Parasite's beginning to realize that
he has limitations
and his abilities wear off after a certain period of time. So, of course, Superman and Jimmy Olsen, they go to interview the police officer who was attacked in the beginning. And she's starting to come around, and we see that she's not dead. And then Jimmy brings up to Clark, like, oh, I wonder how Superman's feeling about now. So Clark leans behind the curtain, grabs like a pole, bends it, fixes it, and he's like, oh, I think Superman's feeling probably really good right about now.
I really like that scene, how like his attitude is like right there. He's like, oh, no, yeah, I got this.
Like, yeah, it's cool because I like when we see Clark Kent as more confident, but it's kind of that goofiness of like, oh, you know, like he's Superman and like we're all in on the joke, but nobody else is. But right before the next fight sequence between Superman, Clark, and Parasite, we see Clark in his apartment, and it's funny because he's getting ready to become Superman.
And then the wind just...
And the wind blows, and his hair falls into, like, that spit curl.
As the quote, Nicolas Cage, wherever I go, the wind follows.
Yeah, and what I want to bring up is, do you think that there is something supernatural about it where, like, the second Clark becomes Superman, the curl just falls on his head? Or do you think because Parasite was like right outside the window and about to jump in, that it was like the wind, like the power of the wind that really truly blew the curl into place? I always thought
that he had like a curl and like one of those like pins up in his hair. It's just magically just like falls off. He just like shakes it off and it's like, there's my curl.
The Superman design, I'd like to point out, is based on the Hercules animated series, not the Disney one, but the one from, I believe, the 1960s, 1970s. I'm gonna have to do a little research, and then I'll speak more on this in the next episode. But when they were originally developing the looks for the characters, Bruce Timm couldn't quite crack the design of Superman, and Superman's been drawn time and time again. So from like 1938 to now, like early 90s, like how can you possibly do Superman different? And he was kind of having like a case of artist's block where he couldn't figure it out. And I believe it was Dan Reba who came into the room. It was either Dan Reba or Paul Dini. I have to check again. But it was one of them. They come into the room with like a Hercules tape that they found like in some kind of like junkyard sale. And they're like, hey, check this out. And they put in Hercules, and Bruce Timm's like, wait, like, pause the tape right there. And he paused it on, like, Superman, and he drew Hercules, and then he just drew, like, the Superman costume over him. And then he was like, that's going to be Superman.
So that's why you're obsessed with Hercules all
the time. Well, yeah, absolutely. A little side note, like, for a while we've been recording this show, I've become very obsessed with Hercules. And
I was wondering why his Instagram is filled with Hercules.
Like, yeah, it's really gone back to that cartoon. And then the cartoons led me back to the Disney show, okay, to the Disney movie. But it's really cool because when you see the Hercules cartoon, again, not the Disney one, but like the original cartoon, and you then look at Superman, it's unmistakable at how they're both, you know, carbon copies of one another, really. But my last thing about Hercules is if you then go and watch the Disney movie, it's really interesting to see how the take on the Greek mythological figure of Hercules is very similar to Superman, where he's this demigod who, you know, lives amongst mortals and then learns that he's not just, you know, that he's more than just an ordinary mm-hmm. person with strength. And I think that just speaks to the modern mythology of Superman, that these are our modern myths. And dare I say, I think these characters have outlived the Greek, you know, mythological characters, not to take anything away from like Zeus or Hercules or people like that. But I think in our maintaining of these characters and stories through animation and film and comic books, it's really said a lot more for their longevity and iconography than what came before.
On that note, we have in our episode, actually a time, like a week has passed in this episode, actually. I was actually talking to Steven about how I feel like this episode should have been two parts, even though it was a great episode. I think two parts really could have helped this episode more into, you know, seeing what Parasite does in that week of like through his life of a crime.
I think it would have been a really cool two-parter as well, because I think they could have concluded the episode where Parasite has Superman imprisoned underneath like Star Labs, mm-hmm. and that would have ended on that like moment of peril where like, oh my gosh, where Superman's going up against like the first villain that he can't stop. And I think like for kids at that time, and to wait like a whole week not knowing like if Superman's going to make it out alive or not, would have been like a really big dramatic moment. And it seems like it would have made sense for the time. Like, you know, like a lot of like the Batman animated series episodes where they introduced characters like Two-Face, they were two-parters. I think this episode would have been really cool if they had it as a two-parter, yeah. just to conclude it where Parasite beats Superman, has Superman imprisoned, is feeding off of him, and in quote, uses feeding time, which is the title of the episode. And then like it just ends where, you know, the second part begins where he's just like wreaking havoc throughout Metropolis.
That, and we could get more screen time, probably like Lois or Jimmy Olsen, you know.
Oh, being more investigative. Yeah. Absolutely. But Jimmy Olsen, of course, being the intrepid photographer and the hopeful reporter that he'd like to be. He steals Perry White's press badge, goes to investigate, and ultimately at Star Labs, he hears Superman sending out an SOS directly to Jimmy, because Superman heard that Jimmy Olsen was inside the lab. And Jimmy goes to free him. Parasite goes to attack him. Superman saves Jimmy and then quickly flies to the lab to find the titanium lead alloy suit that he was trying on in the very start of the episode.
And this is a very interesting scene too, because he doesn't have all his powers back yet, and he's using very minimal powers at the moment. So he's kind of using whatever he can, like whatever he could find in Star Lab to kind of like slow down.
Yeah, it's very much a game of like cat and mouse, and you see Superman using more of his intelligence and wits than his strength.
Kind of his Clark Kent side.
Yeah, I like that. He has to lead Parasite through Star Labs because he knows he can't fight him hand to hand, and he's trying to get to the titanium lead alloy suit so then he could fight Parasite and they could be more evenly matched.
And I like how they can also show his, I'm assuming that's his spacesuit that we saw in the intro to the side, so kind of like for future reference.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that's coming up very, very soon, you know, when we see my favorite character.
And that's also a very iconic action figure from the Superman animated series toy line.
I'm guessing you have it, though.
I think it's called, like, Neutron Star Superman.
Is that the one in the very
corner?
It's
the one in the very corner. Do you see the name of it?
Yeah, something... Neutron Star.
Neutron Star Superman. Yeah,
you guys won't be able to see it, but just picture, you know... Just you could probably Google it or something like that. Just like Neutron Star action figure.
I could post a picture. I could post one on my Instagram and on the Saturday.
But by the time this episode comes out, you might have to scroll all the way down to find it.
I'll repost it.
I'll repost it. Okay, get more hashtags. But right here, like we're nearing towards the end of the episode where Superman uses his intelligence to lure Parasite over to the safe where Kryptonite is kept. And so Parasite punches through the safe and grabs Kryptonite and is affected by it in a strong way, which I'm assuming is because of his stealing of Superman's powers.
Oh, completely, yeah.
And now right here in his cell, it almost seems like now Kryptonite's a part of him in some way. Kind of like he also absorbed Kryptonite. And then I don't know if he absorbed that cockroach right there.
So I think he did, yeah.
Now he did? Okay, so now he's got the power of the cockroach. So I'm expecting later on when his head gets cut off, he'll be perfectly fine. I'm expecting that now.
Well, that will be for the next encounter that Superman has with Parasite.
Wait, so his head is getting chopped off?
No.
Come on.
But Parasite does eventually team up with Livewire, who's coming up very soon, and that's my favorite Superman villain and one of my favorite DC Comics characters of all time. But Feeding Time's a very cool episode because, again, you do see Superman behave in a very Superman-like way, where you see him use his full array of powers, you see him use his intelligence against one of his first major supervillains. And the direction and animation direction and story is just a really fun episode that I think works, again, primarily, like, if you're just going to watch one episode of Superman and Feeding Time happens to be the one you select, you're getting all the goods that, yes, that you'd want from it. Parasite's voiced by Brian James, and I think he did an excellent job at giving a voice to Parasite. And with, like, a lot of these characters, we're now seeing it in a way that, like, when we hear them, that's all we think of. Like, when we're reading the comic book, these are the voices that we hear. And I think that speaks to the really smart voice casting that they did for Superman, the animated series. But, Justin, you liked the episode?
Yeah, I really liked it. It's a very, like, mix of, like, classic horror, you know, with, like, a homage to Terminator, which I don't know if they did do that themselves, but I really liked that touch on it.
I feel like they definitely had an idea as to doing something T2-related. I mean, the fact that we had Robert Patrick as the voice of Mr. Martin LeBeau, I feel like that's very, you know, of course, Robert Patrick did do a lot of voice work at this time, but I feel like by having him, there was definitely that, like, awareness of, like, oh, you know, we know what we're doing.
There's just there's just no quote, though, from Terminator of, like, Arnold, you know, I'll be back, or anything like that. Well, he will be back, but...
Justin, where could everyone find you?
You can find me at Justin Candelaria on Instagram, and also Prime Critic Entertainment on Instagram as well.
And you could find me at Sherbert Downey Jr. on Instagram. And you could find me at RegieMantleIII on Twitter. And if you're a fan of the Universal Monsters, classic and new, you could also follow me on Universal Monsters Universe. And you could find us on UniversalMonstersUniverse.com, on Instagram, on Twitter, on Tumblr. At the time of this recording, it's actually July 1st. And this is the month where principal photography begins on Lee Whannell's Invisible Man. So by the time you're listening to this, it'll already be 2 months into production. And so if you're interested in that, if you're following all along, thank you. And if you're just going to start following now, thank you as well. Saturday Morning Superman Show is brought to you in part by Royal Collectibles, your friendly neighborhood comic shop located in Forest Hills, Queens, New York. Be peaceful.
The Saturday Morning Superman Show is brought to you in part by Royal Collectibles, your friendly neighborhood comic book shop located in Forest Hills, Queens, New York, offering some of the best in pop culture needs and collectibles.
Oh my God, Rudy Jones, he just got Justin.
Doing a stealing job, but who's bad at being... That's our blooper for the day.
Let's just pause for a second.